Well, good morning, everyone. This is our second week now of Church Online, and it feels a little bit weird not giving hugs and handshakes and catching up on how people are face-to-face, but it's been great to have our WhatsApp group happening and people sharing life together, verses of scripture, songs they've found helpful, and praying for one another. So let's continue to do that, and today we're going to unpack some scripture together, and we're going to pray and ask God to help us understand that. And but let me pray for you as well. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer and that you hear us. We pray today for protection over people who are sick, who are struggling and isolated and alone. We pray for peace in their hearts. We pray that, Lord, regardless of the circumstances, that you will just bring a real deep sense of your presence in their life. We pray for those who are losing their jobs, Father, that you will provide income, that you will provide what they need. And Lord, we just ask for your protection over us as a church today. Today, too, as we unpack your scripture, we pray for understanding, that you will give us a real sense of what this means to us and how we might apply it to our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so today we're doing a series, continuing the series on discipleship, on trying to understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus sort of taught his disciples, he taught his disciples in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations and to teach them to obey everything I've commanded. And so our question's been, well, what did Jesus command? What was his commands? Now, we discovered in Acts chapter 2 that the disciples, the early church, got together in the homes and they were trying to figure this out as well. And it says that the early church applied themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so we're trying to discover what is it that the apostles were teaching. And we've come up with 8 practices that we believe are commands from Jesus to put into practice, to obey. And so I haven't got time to go over them all quickly today. We've got a lot of ground to cover. But for those who are new, welcome along. Thanks for joining us. And I hope you find this helpful. But basically, the Go Deeper stands for go, cast your net, share your faith, share the good news of the gospel with someone. That's the command. O is to be obedient. Be obedient to the teachings of Jesus. Put them into practice. The D stands for deny yourself. Look for opportunities to deny yourself. It fits in with fasting and prayer, but basically Jesus taught his disciples to take up your cross and follow me. So whatever that looks like for you, to put Jesus first in your life. The next E is to encourage. Build one another up in your faith. Share your gifts, share your provisions, share whatever you have, but build one another up, encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The next E is to examine. When Jesus broke bread in 1 Corinthians, he taught them to examine themselves and basically ask themselves a question. Am I following the King of Kings or am I following my own path? The P stands for to pray. And Jesus taught the disciples to pray that your kingdom would come, that your will be done here on earth. And so we're trying to discover what all that looks like as well. So today we got to our next E, and I've decided to call that explain. And Jesus explained the scriptures. So where did Jesus tell his disciples they should explain the scriptures and why? Why should we explain the scriptures? That's the context of our talk. And we're going to begin in Luke chapter 24, verse 25 to 32. And this conversation takes place on a road. It is a journey between Jerusalem and Emmaus, and Jesus is talking to a couple of disciples. And so if it was good enough for Jesus to explain the scripture along the way, on the road, then that's what we're going to do as well. So join the fun. We're going to hit the road. If you get a little bit car sick, just close your eyes and just listen to the talk, but we should have some fun along the way. See you on the road.
left my home on a Sunday afternoon to meet up on a sunny day. Oh, I'll see you soon. Things I saw, they kept my ties. All that I missed were, oh, I missed those ties.
In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, it says, Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. 28. By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as though he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it's getting late." And so he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it, and he broke it and he gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. At that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" Later on that evening, back in Jerusalem, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. In verse 44, it says, "Then he said, 'When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled.' And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, 'Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day.'" It's clear to me that if Jesus explained the scriptures concerning himself, then that's something that we should do as well. And so just a heads up, it's the reason that we've been working our way through the entire Bible, looking for the places that Jesus shows up. It just brings the entire Bible together, and it reveals God's plan for the redemption of the human race ever since we all rebelled against God. God's word reveals who Jesus really is and what he actually did. And so what do the scriptures explain? What is it that we need to understand? I've got 5 reasons for explaining the scriptures to people. So reason number 1 for explaining the scriptures, they're the roadmap to life. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for the path." Can you just imagine driving at night without lights or going through the bush without a map? How easy is it to get lost? Is it any wonder that there are so many people searching who are lost, looking for direction, looking for meaning and purpose in their lives? If only they opened the scriptures, they would find that the path is there for them. It's laid out, and life would make a whole lot more sense. The light doesn't necessarily show the easy road to life. It shows us the right road. Jesus called it the narrow road. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." The second reason for explaining the scriptures is it explains the world that we live in. It provides us with a meta-narrative. It's a grand story that is self-legitimizing. It provides us with a structure for beliefs, and it gives meaning to our experiences. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, "In this world you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I have overcome the world." in our current situation when the whole world seems like it's out of control, this verse puts things into perspective. We can just take comfort in the fact that regardless of the trials, Jesus is the ruler of this world. All things are under his authority. Just a heads up, hang on tight. Oh.
And were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth.
The third reason for explaining the scriptures is it explains our role as Jesus' disciples in the world. Jeremiah 29 says, if God has a plan for Israel and for the church, and the plan for the church, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, is that each one of us is given a special gift to use for his purposes. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 says that God's purpose is to use that church to display his wisdom in a rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The scriptures are explaining that your life and the skills you have a greater purpose than just paying the bills and surviving from week to week. God's using you to fulfill his plan. Some people have skills that are, well, freakish. Fourth reason to explain the scriptures, it explains the not just here and now on earth, but explains the kingdom to come. In John 18, verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And he taught his disciples to pray that this spiritual kingdom would come to earth as it is in heaven. One day, when Jesus is ready, his spiritual kingdom will come to earth. And that's not something to fear, it's something to celebrate. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, the world has now become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And you'll never guess who will be reigning with him, his disciples.
Born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart.
And lastly, as I alluded to in the intro, the scripture explains who Jesus is. In Luke chapter 4, verse 21, Jesus stands up in the temple. Verse 17, it says, and the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found a place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come. And he rolled up the scroll and handed back to the attendant and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently, and he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think that they will give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life." See, the Old Testament scripture reveals Christ. It reveals him in different ways, in different types. I like to think that they're a physical example of a spiritual reality. Take the first man, Adam, for example. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 says, "The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, and then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man." You see, Adam was a physical example of a spiritual reality that is yet to come. And that's true of most of the majority of the Old Testament.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free.
Adam's just the first example. The stories like Noah are a physical example of Jesus' kingdom to come. It's, you know, in the story of Noah, salvation was only made possible through God's provision. And those who rejected God's provision perished. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are examples of God fulfilling a promise of salvation that's yet to come. We too look forward to a promise that's yet to be fulfilled, a kingdom to come. And Jesus said in Luke that starting with the law, well, Christ is revealed as the fulfillment of the law. Where everyone else failed in trying to keep the law, Christ was obedient, and he was the only one worthy to die as a sinless, perfect sacrifice. In the books of the law, Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. In John chapter 3 says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake, so too the Son of Man must be lifted up." He's speaking of sacrifice. And speaking of sacrifices, the temple and the entire sacrificial system, the priests, the lambs, the altar, all the furnishings in the tabernacle and in the temple, the lampstands, the basins, the curtains, they're all physical examples of who Jesus is and what he accomplished. And it's not just the law. The prophets and the Psalms reveal Christ. Take the prophet Jonah, for example, Matthew chapter 12. "For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights." Many of the Psalms were written by the king of Israel. His name is David, who's described as a man who has a similar heart to God's heart. And so too does Jesus. He's not just similar to God's heart, he is the heart of God. So as you read through the scriptures, you'll discover story after story presented like a rich tapestry of who Jesus is and what he has done. The scriptures explain the dangers of following the world. It explains God's plan of salvation and his purpose for your life. The scriptures explain that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It explains that no one comes to the Father but through him. It explains God's love for the entire world, and that anyone who believes in the Son will have eternal life and participate in the spiritual reality of the kingdom to come. If you're tired, being lost in the dark with no hope, if you've got no purpose or direction, if you're worried about the future, then put your trust in Jesus. If you believe that Jesus has come to earth to pay the price for your sin and provide a way into a spiritual kingdom, then I invite you to tell God yourself right now. You can pray something like this. God, I really need your help right now. I need you. I believe that Jesus died for the sin of the world, my sin, and I invite him to take the steering wheel of my life and direct me along the road that you have planned for me until the day you come or I arrive safely home. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me on this road trip. I trust you enjoyed it rather than just sitting here looking at my ugly mug. But as I explained the scriptures to you, I wonder if you felt like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that their hearts burned within them as he explained the scriptures. What a great opportunity it is to walk along the road with Jesus. And my prayer is that you would begin to understand just who Jesus is and the way that he reveals himself throughout the scriptures. So thanks for listening. I'm really praying that you have a safe week and you get through this together. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. Amen.